I invite your attention to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12, we read a very touching verse from the Apostle Paul where he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." 2 Timothy is a unique book. It is one that is believed to be Paul's final letter, his farewell address, if you will. And as he's writing this letter, you can see that Paul is aware and he's understanding of what's about to happen. He knows that his time here upon earth is not very long. And even though he's a man that has been delivered from some of the most difficult circumstances that we can even fathom, this time Paul understands that it is truly the end. And with these things, he writes to the young preacher Timothy these touching words. And it's frankly difficult for me to read this verse and not think of the old song that we sing from time to time, "I know whom I have believed." But these are words of a man that is nearing the end of his life, and he's reflecting on what he has done, the decisions that he's made. We know that Paul was a man that had a lot of regrets. He did many things that he was not proud of, even stating that he was chief of sinners, and that it was only by the grace of God that he was what he was. But we know that following Christ was not one of those regrets. Being a gospel preacher was not one of those things that caused him pause. He was confident in the God that he served and what he had committed to him against that day that was surely to come. These are words that I hope we would want to be able to say when we near the end of our lives. I hope these are things that we would want to be said about us. But in order to say these words as Paul said them, and to say them with such surety and with such resolve, I believe there are three questions that we need to be asking ourselves today, and three things we'd like to consider in the time that we have remaining. First question: do you know who you believe in? You may be saying, "Austin, boy, that's a basic question. Boy, we have all these Christians here, and we have all these people here that say that they believe in the one true Jehovah God." Well, I've come to find out, the longer I'm alive, and I haven't been alive for very long, but you don't take things for granted. There was recently a poll I found by a website called The Pew that said and discovered that 20% of professed Christians don't even believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in the God that they even claim to serve. Now, I know we can use that word Christian very loosely, and we can put quotation marks around that. And I think we all understand what that means. Take it with a grain of salt. But think for a moment about this number. If you line five people up that said they were Christians, the odds are one of them will say that they don't even believe in God. So the question remains today: who do you believe in? Do you believe in Jehovah God? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? Do you believe in the things that He has written down? Do you believe that this book is God-breathed, that it is inspired by God? Do you believe that these are things that actually happened? This isn't fan fiction. This isn't a comic book. This isn't something that was taken out of the MCU, if you will. This is not something that people just made up. These are things that happened. These are real people. These are real events. Do you believe that? Take this one step further. Who is God to you? You know, you might believe in God today. You might believe that there is a Jehovah God, that there is a God in heaven. You might believe in the God that the Bible talks about, and that's absolutely wonderful. That's great. We understand that the devils also believe and tremble. We need to ask, who is God to us? What does God mean to you? What do you think it means to be a servant of the Almighty God in heaven? There are many so-called Christians that look at God as nothing more than a blank check. They think that they can do whatever they want, they can commit every sin in the book, and then someday everything's just going to turn out just peachy keen, everything's going to be fine, because they think God's going to be able to take care of it. There's some that want us to look at God as some sort of a pushover, as someone who is just loving and just accepts us for who we are. And undoubtedly, if you look on Facebook for very long, you'll find one of these posts, one of these things where it talks about how we just ought to love everybody. We just ought to accept everybody and not judge and not condemn anyone. For many people, that's all that they really know about God. That's all that God is to them. This is very unfortunate because the scriptures tell us so much more about who God is. This is where I think the Old Testament scriptures come into place. Oftentimes we go to the Old Testament, and I know I've been guilty of this myself, but we go there and we look for good accounts. We look at interesting things that have happened and interesting characters, and we like to take practical application out of those things. Or perhaps we're looking for a moral of some kind that we can base a lesson around. But the Old Testament is also there to show us who God is. It shows us that He is the master and creator of this world, and that all of the nature is His, and He is in control over it. It shows that He blesses those that seek after Him. He shows that He is a God of mercy, even when His people would forsake Him, even when His people would turn their backs and serve false gods. He is a jealous God. He demands that He alone be praised. He is a God that brings judgment upon those that do wickedness, including even His own people. He's not a respecter of persons. He is a protector for those that serve Him, a warrior against those that dare to defy Him. He is a God that had a plan from the very beginning of time of how to save mankind from his sins. He is the God that sacrificed His only begotten Son of God, His only begotten Son, to die in our place upon Calvary. He's the God that offers salvation through Jesus Christ in obedience to the gospel. He's the God that says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there is so much more that we could look at. But the question is, who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? Do you know that? Do you understand that? Number two, what have you committed to God? Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. So the next logical question we have to ask is, what have you committed to God? What have you entrusted in God's care? Do you trust God? You know, as human beings, we're not very trusting of other people, especially. You know, think about the self-checkouts for a minute. I've had a lot of people talk to me about self-checkouts. You know what the reason why we have self-checkouts is? People don't trust other people to bag their own groceries. So people said, here you go, you do it yourself if you don't trust us to do it. We don't trust people. We don't trust things easily. If there's one person, if there's one being in this universe that we should be able to trust, it should be God. What have you committed to His trust today? Have you committed your future to God? Over in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Does this mean that we have to say, Lord willing, at the end of every sentence? Does this mean we have to continuously say this phrase over and over again? Well, the point of saying, Lord willing, in this context especially, is not that we have to say it at the end of every sentence, because then it kind of becomes a vain repetition. It becomes something that we just say out of habit. But we need to understand what it means. James is trying to get across the fact that we don't know what the future holds. But we should know that it lies in God's hands. God is the one who is in control of when time goes on and when time ceases to go on. And by saying, Lord willing, we will do this or that, we are recognizing that we are not the ultimate power. We are realizing and trusting in God's timing and in His planning to be correct. We are realizing that we are living in God's world. We're not living in His, or He's not living in ours. We're living in His. Do you trust your family to God? Brad Shockley talked very well about that. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 talk about instructions to husbands, wives, to parents, to children. Of course, I don't have a wife. I don't have children. You may say, you can't tell me anything about that. Well, here's a question. Do we trust that God knows more about family than we do? Do we trust that God knows more about relationships than we do? Do we trust the fact that He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Do you trust your family with God? Do you trust God with your cares and with your worries? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you trust God with the things that worry you, with the things that bother you in this life? Do you go to God with those things, or are you afraid to? Or do you just think you can just handle them on your own? You'll just be fine by yourself. You don't really need God's help. You don't really need to talk to God about it. You maybe don't even need to talk to your brethren about it. You don't need to do anything with that. You can just handle it on your own. Do you trust God with your cares? Do you trust God with your soul? Have you entrusted your soul and your salvation to God Almighty tonight? Because if you're here and you haven't, and you know that there is a God in heaven, you know that there is a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ, and you know what you need to do, and you're of that age of accountability, you need to do something about that. And if you haven't entrusted your soul with God, why? Do you not trust God with your soul? Do you not trust that God knows where you will end up, whether it be in heaven or in hell? Do you not trust that if you follow His word, that it is a roadmap to that heavenly home above? But lastly here tonight, Paul said that he knew who he had believed in. He was persuaded he was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. There is a day coming. There is a time when God is going to judge this world. We're told in John chapter 12 by Jesus Himself, we're going to be judged by the commandments that Jesus received from His Father. Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared for that day? Have you believed in the one true God of heaven? Have you entrusted the things that need to be trusted in God to Him? Paul knew who he'd believed in. He was convinced and sure of the fact that he was able to keep what he had committed unto him against that day. Can the same thing be said about you? Only you know the answers here tonight.